thank you for the invitation. It's been wonderful to be down here today. This talk is based on some work I did with Andreas Kartsch earlier this year, and it's cute. What we've identified is essentially a new source of universality for 3D gauge theories with some small amount of supersymmetry. And so thus we use string theory in order to be able to do it. Sort of the gist of the talk is that you can engineer a wide class of quiver gauge theories in three dimensions using brain constructions. And then once you have those brain constructions, you can act on them with the whole artifice of string dualities. You engineer dual brain constructions, which then necessarily engineer dual gauge theories. So that's sort of the tack we'll be taking today. Here's my outline for the talk. We'll start off with a little bit of motivation. Why are we looking at 3D gauge theories in the first place, aside from the fact that we can do things with them? I'll give a brief sort of 2-minute review of some properties of mirror symmetry, which is the prototypical duality for 3D gauge theories, if you will. And then from there, rather than actually computing things the hard way, we'll just figure out where show where mirror symmetry comes from in terms of brain pictures. So we'll construct some gauge theories using brains in type 2B, and then we'll act with string dualities. And we'll see mirror symmetry showing up naturally. And by considering a wider class of brain setups, we can consider new dualities. We can find new dualities that are essentially new examples of mirror symmetry. But at the end of this section, we'll be confronted with the question. There will be some theories that can show our dual to each other, but we won't understand why they should be. So in order to answer why those theories will be dual to each other, we'll have to go up to M theory and figure out some nice results there and then conclude. So let's start off with the introduction. The world of 3D gauge theories with at least N equals 2 supersymmetry, so 4 supercharges, is very rich. There's a bunch of dualities, including mirror symmetry, dimensionally reduced version of Seiberg duality, much more. It's worth noting that these theories in three dimensions aren't just interesting constructions, not just interesting toy problems. They're useful for condensed matter physics. So Sukhdev has some thoughts on how these supersymmetric systems are actually soluble toy models of quantum criticality, etc. These 3D theories generically flow to interacting non-trivial conformal field theories in the infrared. And the dualities that I'm going to be talking about today generically relate the IR of different UV theories. So these are infrared dualities. A lot of these CFTs can be described easily using ADS-CFT, M2 brains. This is one example of this, is ABJM, and then the several hundred follow-ups from there. Exactly. Yeah. So in this world, there's two sort of dumb goals that struck us just right off the bat. One is just, well, how many dualities are there? How many dualities can we find? Which ones are redundant? Then you can also use these dualities for something useful. You generically, these 3D theories, you don't have a good IR description of in terms of the original fields of the theory, but if you can find some dual description, particularly in terms of a Chern-Simons matter theory, then you have a nice IR description of the theory. So that's sort of the motivation we're taking. And here's the one slide summary of mirror symmetry. So mirror symmetry is the prototypical example of infrared duality for 3D theories. It was originally discovered by Introligator and Seiberg back in 96. And there they find two different UV theories. As I said before, they flow to the same theory in the infrared. Mirror symmetry ends up exchanging the Coulomb branch of one theory with the Higgs branch of another. It exchanges masses, Phi-Opolis terms, holds for abelian, for non-abelian theories. And the important point that we need for today is that typically there is enhanced global symmetry of both theories in the IR. So we'll come back to that throughout the talk. In sort of condensed mattery language, mirror symmetry is an instance of particle vortex duality. A number of people showed that. I took the liberty of just abbreviating their names there. And it does something non-trivial to Chern-Simons levels. And hold on to that a little closer. Mirror symmetry naturally acts on a class of field theories called quiver gauge theories. And they're neatly represented with little diagrams called quivers. And those diagrams have two components. In order to talk about how mirror symmetry acts and a lot of the brain constructions today, we're going to need to know what these diagrams mean. They have two components. They have nodes. They have arrows. The nodes refer to a UN vector multiplet, so a UN gauge group factor. And moreover, can have arrows. Those refer to chiral multiplets. So, if you will, these are like the dimensional reductions of n equals 1 vectors in chirals in 4D. So here's an example of such a quiver. This is, well, you can just read off what the theory is. There's two nodes. So this is a UN cross UN gauge theory. It has four chirals, and the arrows denote how those chirals are charged. In particular, the arrows, the multiplets with the arrows pointing toward this node, they're fundamentally charged under this UN, and they're anti-fundamental under this UN. And conversely, the arrows pointing the opposite direction are fundamental under this UN and anti-fundamental under this UN. That quiver is a UN cross UN gauge theory with bifundamentals. Yeah. So let me just give an example of mirror symmetry. I'm just going to take it as given that I have two given theories here that are mirror symmetric. I'm not going to go into why they are. We'll come back to that later. I want to use this as an example of both, okay, getting more familiar with quivers, but also seeing enhanced global symmetry. It also helps that this will come back to these theories frequently through the talk. This is a slightly non-canonical example of mirror symmetry. So if you're familiar with the whole story, this is just a little bit different. Consider a theory on the left. This theory has three nodes. So it's a UN cross UN cross UN gauge theory. Has bifundamental matter content running around. There's also another chiral multiplet. This one is charged and anti-charged under the same gauge group, so it's an adjoint. That theory has some superpotential. Then I can consider a second theory that has a single UN factor, so it's UN super Yang Mills with three adjoints, some particular superpotential, so that this whole part of the quiver is just n equals 8 super Yang Mills in three dimensions. And I couple it to three flavors. I couple two of the flavors to one adjoint and the third to a different adjoint. So this theory is n equals 2, and this theory is n equals 2. And I'm just going to claim that mirror symmetry relates those two theories. Note, these two theories have completely different global symmetry groups. So this theory on the right here with the flavors, it's easier to see the full symmetry group here. This theory has a flavor symmetry that rotates the first and second flavors. There's a U2 flavor symmetry that rotates them. There's also a U1 that rotates the third flavor. And finally, there's a U1 from the dual photon of the gauge group. So this theory has a U2 cross U1 cross U1 global symmetry group. Whereas the theory on the left, there's no flavor symmetries that rotate the bifundamentals at all. And the only global symmetry you have is a U1 U1, U1 from each of the dual photons. But since both of those theories flow to the same IR fixed point, well, the theory on the left has to have some symmetry enhancement in the infrared. And so the SU2 flavor symmetry of the right theory is only emergent as an IR phenomenon for the left theory. Typically, global symmetry is enhanced for both. You have two theories. They have some global symmetry group on the left, some global symmetry group on the right. Roughly speaking, they intersect. So the theory in the IR has to have essentially the union global symmetry groups.
How do you establish
this? That these two theories are mirror symmetric?
Or, can you...
I'm going to do it with brains later in the talk. That concludes the introduction. Instead of looking at moduli spaces and things like that, I'm just going to look at the brain picture. Let me do that now. There's a cute way to realize mirror symmetry using brains that Hanani and Witten figured out 4 months after the original mirror symmetry paper. So in order to realize mirror symmetry in this way, you need to engineer gauge theories with brain setups. It means you need some brains. So I have written here a little diagram. I'm going to consider brain setups at first that have three different types of brains. These are brains in type 2B string theory, so they live in 10 dimensions. So they are embedded in some 10D space. And the X's just denote which directions those brains fill. So these D3 brains fill the 0, 1, 2, 3 directions, the NS, the 0 through 5, etc. For these setups, though, the important thing to note is that I'm going to let the 6th direction that the D3 brains are wrapping, but the NS and D5 are not, I'm going to let this direction be compact. So I'm wrapping D3 brains around a circle. Thus, the theory living on the D3 brains is a theory on R3 cross a spatial S1, which at low energies is just going to be some 3D theory. So that's how we engineer 3D theories this way. That theory is going to have some amount of supersymmetry. In order to compute that amount, I can just look at the symmetry preserved by this brain setup. And that setup preserves 8 charges worth of supersymmetry. So these quiver theories in the infrared preserve, these theories on the D3 brains, they're 3 dimensions, and they preserve n equals 4 supersymmetry. So let's talk about this with some pictures. That's fine to say that we have some theory. Helps to actually be able to identify which theory it is. Let's do that with an example now. Say I consider a brain setup that has D3 brains around a circle and then a single NS brain and a single D5 brain. Simple setup. I need to know 2 facts in string theory to be able to come up with the quiver that lives on the D3 brains. The first fact is that the theory on the D3 brains is described by the low energy effective action of the open strings glued to their world volume. So first thing I should do to identify the field content of that theory is to ask what type of open strings can end on that on the D3 brains. For this setup, there's 3 types. There are those with both ends on the D3 brains. Those correspond to adjoint fields in the low energy theory. There are open strings with one end on the D brains and another end that can end on the D5s. Those correspond to fundamental fields in the theory. And finally, fundamental strings just aren't allowed to end on NS brains, but D3 brains do. So the D3 brains wrapping the circle here, they split on the NS brain. It means I have a new sector of strings, those that can go from one stack on one side to the stack on the other side of the NS brain. So these are fundamental under this stack, antifundamental under this stack, and then the flip. Those are bifundamental fields, which in this instance, even though the D3 brains split over here, they reconnect back over here. So I really only have 1 gauge group in this instance, and these bifundamentals are really adjoints. So the quiver corresponding to this brain setup is, UN with 3 adjoints and flavor.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
How come we don't have the D strings stretching from the D3 to the NS, which do become light in the NS? And they would be magnetically charged flavors.
From the D3 to the NS?
Right. Type 2B theory.
Thought that fundamental strings can. This is 2B.
So in type 2B, the D5 brain and the NS5 brain are as dual to each other.
Yes.
So if the D string, if the fundamental string is allowed to end on the D5 brain, the D string is allowed to end on the NS5 brain.
That's right. So I can have
D1. So you have a magnetically charged massless particle between the NS and the 3. And I'm asking you.
They are not present. So I can perform an S-duality, and I can, I'm not sure if I understand exactly what happened.
Well, if you do an S-duality, you'll get magnetic degrees of freedom there that are massless.
Right.
So it's not electric degrees of freedom becoming massless, it's magnetic degrees of freedom becoming massless. Right, the coupling constant is changing in the free brain, and it becomes magnetically free near the NS.
I think it's there, but I don't think it shows up in the IR physics. I don't know if I can give a very coherent answer why, though.
So how much is
this? It says N=4 supersymmetry. Yeah.
Sorry, is that enough to use S-duality? I mean, you know, N=2 is subject to a lot of corrections, so it's not completely obvious.
I think so, because the local intersections have much of
a
solution.
Yeah. Well.
This is what I'm asking.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, sometimes I have a feeling that the AB are the ones who are doing the trick with the, some kind of bounce state of this magnetic.
I'm not sure. I'll have to think about it and get back to you. Yeah. Let's mention before these two examples with these theories that preserved N=2 supersymmetry. In order to describe theories with N=2, we need to break some of the supersymmetry in these setups, which means we need new brain ingredients to preserve less supersymmetry. So, in particular, let's add two new types of brains. Let's add some D5s and NS brains, but along different orientations than the ones that we added before, along N=2 preserving orientations. The new ingredient with these setups is that, well, these new D5 brains that I've added, call them D5 primes, they can split on the NS brains in the same way that the D3 split on them. As a result, there's a phenomenon that some smart people found called flavor doubling, wherein these D5 primes contribute flavor to both of the neighboring gauge groups, corresponding to the D3 brains that end on a, that split on an NS. So let's show this with a picture. Say I consider a more complicated brain setup. D3 brains around a circle, NS, NS prime, D5 prime. Well, say I want to figure out what the quiver is corresponding to that brain setup. I have D3 brains that split on the two NS brains. So I have stack here, corresponding to a UN cross UN theory. I have my little strings racing across the NS brains, corresponding to bifundamental content here and here. And also, I have each half of the D5 prime. I didn't draw this correctly in here, I apologize. Each half contributes a flavor and an anti-flavor to each gauge group. So I have a flavor hypermultiplet coupled to this gauge group, flavor hypermultiplet coupled to this gauge group. And the finally, the fact that the NS and the NS prime have opposite orientations means that the D3 brains strung between them are no longer free to move at all. As a result, the adjoint fields corresponding to their motion along the NS brains are effectively made infinitely massive. So there's no adjoints lying around anymore in the IR. And this theory has some super potential. Can you see? So those, that's a more complicated example.
So is this broken to 3D
N=2? Yeah, so this is 3D N=2. Now, Let's go back to our quivers that we constructed before. We can easily engineer those quivers using brain setups now. This setup right here we can engineer with three NS brains, two of them pointed one way, one of them pointed another. So we get three stacks of D3 brains, so UN cross UN cross UN, bifundamentals, and then two of the stacks are essentially stuck, and the third one is free to move up and down, so one of the gauge groups has an extra adjoint chiral. So there's the first realization that we had. And then the second realization with the three flavors, we can realize by D3 brains around a circle with 3D5 brains, two pointed one way and the third pointed the other, corresponding to two flavors coupled to one adjoint and the third to another. You'll note here that since the D5 doesn't split on an NS brain, it only contributes one flavor. These two theories, I said, were mirror symmetric to each other. These two brain setups map into each other under S-duality. So type 2B strings have S-duality, under which D3 brains are untouched, and then S and D5 brains are exchanged. So in this framework, this was the Hanani-Witten result. See that mirror symmetry is just a consequence of S-duality. So that's nice. It's easier. But in order to go further, we need to go further. We need to understand more. So the S-duality of type 2B strings is part of a larger duality group. There's a full SL2Z's worth of transformations we can perform. If I want to understand more examples of mirror symmetry, I need to understand, well, general transformations, general SL2Z transformations. Under those transformations, D3 brains are still untouched. 5 brains transform non-trivially. So to talk about that, I need some notation. A PQ5 brain is essentially PD5 brains bound up with Q and S brains. So it has P units D5 charge, Q units NS charge, and they transform. Well, if I write PQ as a column vector, it essentially transforms as a fundamental under SL2Z. This notation S-duality is just the transformation that exchanges P and Q. Now you might ask, what happens when we put PQ5 brains in these Hanani-Witten setups? That would reflect part of this larger duality group. In order to figure that out, well, let's start off with a simpler case than a general PQ brain. Let's stick a single NS brain and KD5 primes. Let's intersect some D3 brains around that. I can perform a deformation with the brains here called a web deformation, wherein I take, well, the D5 and the NS, split them, create a bound state with a K1 brain in between that then splits back into a NS and some D5 primes. That whole network is called a PQ web. That's fine and dandy from the brain perspective, but what does that do to the field theory living on the D3 brains? In order to understand that, we need to, well, the result is that we've added a real mass term to the field theory. This was found by some other smart people. To see what that real mass term is, let's consider the theory at this step, D3 brains intersecting these brains right here. That theory has, well, K flavors coming from this half of the D5 brain, K from that half of the D5 brain. There is a UK cross UK global flavor symmetry in that theory. Consider the axial combination of the diagonal U1s. Weakly gauge it, turn on a BEV for the scalar in that multiplet, turn off the gauge coupling. So use Spurion technique, essentially. And that result is that you give a mass to all fields proportional to their charge under that U1. And in particular, you give just the right combination of masses such that when you look at the IR and you integrate out the fermions, you integrate out those massive fields, you integrate out fermions, and you give rise to Chern-Simons terms for the theory on for the gauge group on the left and the gauge group on the right. There are K fundamentals, K any fundamentals coming from each half of the D5 brain. You get a Chern-Simons level, 1/2 for each of them. So you introduce Chern-Simons levels K and minus K to the two gauge groups. So one more example. Say I have an NS brain and then this K1 brain right here on the other side of the sixth circle. This is a gauge theory with on the D3 brains with a UN cross UN stack. I have adjoints because they're free to slide up and down by fundamentals. And now I have levels K and minus K to the two different gauge groups. That's fine. That's nice to understand K1 brains, but what about general PQ brains? It's worth noting this flavor symmetry that was critical that we needed to turn on the real mass is not apparent in the UV when I have more than one NS brain. This is a flavor symmetry that is only apparent when I have KD5 primes, not the mirror where I have one D5 and KNS brains. That flavor symmetry is just not apparent in that description. So if I wanted to add the real mass to the mirror theory of this one, I would have to let the theory with the KNS brains flow to the IR, develop this enhanced symmetry, and then run through that Olsperion technique on the previous slide. As a result, we don't know the Lagrangian description for these Hanani-Witten setups when we have PQ brains with Q greater than 1. So we haven't gotten a lot more here, but we've gotten something. Oh, good. So we intersected D3 brains around with a K1 brain. There's one more logical possibility. I could have intersected them at the junction of this web. What happens in that instance? What does that do to the field theory? On the field theory side, I'll start off with a single NS and KD5 primes again. You have a global symmetry group. It's still UK, cross UK from the flavors. Instead of using a Spurion method with the axial combination of the U1s, just use the U1 from one factor. The net result is that you give a mass to the flavors of one gauge group and the anti-flavors of another. So when you go to the IR, integrate out those massive fields, you give rise to Chern-Simons levels for each gauge groups that are half integral. You end up with, you have the anti-flavors in one gauge group left over. I have the flavors in the other, and I introduce Chern-Simons levels k over 2 and minus k over 2. And as before, we don't know the Lagrangian description when we have PQ brains in this junction with q greater than 1. Those are all the tools we need now to get some new examples of mirror symmetry. So let's do that. Let's consider transformations that keep us in the class of brain setups that have only one NS brain bound up. There's a simple transformation we can write down, an SL2Z element that's just 1N, 0, 1. It takes PQ brains into P plus NQ brains. So if you start off with a brain setup that satisfies this criterion, you stay there. That's fine. You change the brains around, but unfortunately, if you track through, you don't actually change the quiver theory at all. So that transformation is useless. There's another one that you can use, the 1001 transformation. It preserves NS brains, but it turns D5 brains into 1-1 brains. It's worth noting that if you apply it a second time, it takes 1-1 brains into 1-2 brains. So we can only apply this transformation once before we're screwed, before we don't know the Lagrangian description of these theories. But nonetheless, that means we get new duals to any theory that we can engineer with a setup with D5s and NS brains. Just apply the T transformation and, you get a new theory. Let's show this with a picture. Say I consider this setup with 3 NS brains and 2 D5 primes. This is a UN cross UN cross UN gauge theory with adjoints, bifundamentals, and then 4 flavors coming from the 4 halves of the D5 brains. They're split. Act with T. NS brains go to NS brains, D5s go to 1-1 brains. And now this setup down here, this engineers a UN cross UN, 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 UN to the 5th gauge theory with adjoints, bifundamentals, and Chern-Simons terms. Plus 1, minus 1, plus 1, minus 1. So that's a new example. And in fact, using all this, we can come up with a new dual to the suspended pinch point. Now, this was the example where I started. In particular, consider D3 brains around a circle with a junction and a single D5 prime. There's still only one stack of D3 brains, so this is UN plus, the adjoints, so the adjoint, the two bifundamentals, And then there's three flavors coming from the three halves of the D5 brains. Two of them couple to one adjoint, the third couples to another. So this is exactly the same as the all-flavor theory that I wrote down before. But I've engineered it using completely different ingredients. Instead of D5, D5 primes, I've engineered it with the PQ web. I can perform S-duality on this setup. And now I get a new setup with, well, the junction maps into itself, essentially. And the D5 goes into an NS5. And here's some new theory. This is a UN cross UN theory with five fundamentals adjoints. And then here's a junction. So I have flavor and anti-flavor corresponding to this half of the D5 brain, and Chern-Simons levels plus 1/2 and minus 1/2. So this, I would say, is a new dual to the suspended pinch point theory. That's fine. Why are these theories dual to the suspended pinch point at all? The brain setups here are completely different than the ones we studied before. PQ webs, not NSNS prime strings. We have these three, so use a little flowchart here. We have these three dual representations of the same theory. We have this mostly vector representation with Chern-Simons levels. We have the all-flavor one that we got. Well, we know that these things were dual because we also had an all-flavor representation over here, engineered with D5, D5 primes. And then we have an all-vector theory. And there's a nice big question mark in the middle. Why are these different representations dual to each other? There's no string duality. It takes us from these to these, at least not directly. So why is that so? In order to answer that question, we need to go up to M theory. Let me pause at this point for questions. Okay. So everyone understands everything I've said. Okay. Good. Okay. Before we go up to M theory, let's stay in 2B for just a second. At low energies, these setups that I've described, where the D3 brain's wrapped around a circle, they really look like D3 brains wrapped around a point, and then the PQ web collapses, single point. The IR of those setups is well described by M2 brains up in M theory probing some Calabi-Yau threefold. M2 brains, because the effective theory, the D3s, they're really two plus one dimensional objects in the infrared. And there's this nice old result of Leung and Vafa that tells me how to associate a given PQ web with certain Calabi-Yau threefold. So what is that prescription? In order to understand it, we need to know just a little bit about toric geometry. Toric Calabi-Yau threefolds, which are the Calabi-Yau threes we're looking at here, they are non-compact spaces. Can describe them nicely in terms of things called toric varieties. And it takes Cn, deletes some points, modded out by some equivalence relations. That's a toric variety, kind of in the same way as Cpn is. These spaces are usually singular. So if you place brains at the singularities, they generically give rise to orbifold theories in this classic Morris and Plesser story. And moreover, the geometry of a toric Calabi-Yau threefold is completely specified by a 2D lattice called the toric diagram. I've drawn an example of one over here. The toric diagram I've just drawn has that's the part with the circles and the lines connecting them. So this toric diagram has these dots and then the lines in between. Since that's a 2D diagram, there is a dual graph to that diagram that, in the usual sense of exchanging faces and vertices, and I've just overlaid that graph on top of the diagram here. It's worth noting that toric diagrams are invariant under, well, diagram changes under reparametrizations of this lattice, but the underlying Calabi-Yau threefold does not. So if I reparametrize this lattice using SL2Z transformations, I change the toric diagram, but same Clavial threefold. That's something called toric duality. Okay, now we have the machinery to talk about the Leung-Wafa result. For a given PQ web, it lifts up in M-theory to a Clavial threefold whose toric diagram is dual to the web. It's a long sentence. In pictures, say I consider this PQ web, where this brain right here is a 1-1 brain. So there's my PQ web. Notice that it's essentially the same as the graph that I've overlaid up here. Call this direction right here the NS direction, the 0-1 direction. This the D5 direction, and then that's a 1-1 direction. Draw the graph associated with that PQ web, and then find the toric diagram dual to it. That's the Clavial threefold that PQ web lifts up to. So, from the last slide, that PQ web will lift to the Clavial threefold associated with that toric diagram. So let's go back to the suspended pinch point. The reason why I call the theory by that name, because, well, there's Clavial threefold called the suspended pinch point. It's a particularly simple threefold. One way of realizing the toric diagram is just this way right here, five dots connected like so. I can draw a dual graph, but then if I consider it in terms of a PQ web, has an NS brain and a junction. In other words, if I consider a D3 brains on a circle with an NS brain and a junction, that brain setup lifts to M2s on the suspended pinch point. I could also perform some lattice reparametrization. I could flip the axes here. I can get this toric diagram, and I can run through the same procedure. Here's a D5 brain, here's a junction. You'll notice that's the other type 2B configuration we wrote down earlier. And there's one more way of doing this. I could redraw the toric diagram this way. This has a 1-1 brain and a junction. There's that brain setup. All of these brain setups are related by SL2Z transformations, SL2Z string dualities. And all of these diagrams, that's just toric duality. So we see right here, toric duality is just mirror symmetry. That's nice. And as I said before, we know the quivers for these three different theories. And in fact, the quiver for this brain setup and this brain setup are the same. But that doesn't answer the question. Why are these setups with PQ webs dual to those with the NS and NS primes? In order to answer that question, we need to go one step further. In particular, these 2B setups with PQ webs are not the only ones that lift up to M2 brains on a Clavial threefold. There are also brain setups in type 2A that lift up to that. I can find them by just dimensionally reducing on a circle. There's a really nice, obvious circle sitting around here that I can reduce on. And I can find a new brain setup. In particular, if I dimensionally reduce on a trivial circle, I end up with a 2A setup that has two D2 brains on the same Clavial threefold. That theory is just the dimensional reduction of the same theory seen by D3 brains probing that same Clavial threefold. So some smart people that worked on that, some of whom are in this room. There's a vast machinery that has been established to figure out what theory lives on the D3 brains in that case. It's the whole brain tilings, dimers, all that other fun stuff. An important thing to note is that none of these theories have Chern-Simons terms. Dimensional reductions of 40 theories. Thus, it's time for another flowchart. Our new reduction that we've performed gives rise to a 2A description that lifts up to the same setup in M-theory that our PQ probes lift up to. Since both brain setups lift up to the same description in M-theory, they have to be equivalent. They have to be dual, which means I get to put an arrow right here, and we get to give it a name. So we call it geometric duality. because this, the duality arises that these two descriptions are equivalent essentially by reducing M theory on two different circles. So there's our duality. In order to finish answering this question, we need to perform one last duality today. Let's t-dualize. This is not the t-generator I talked about before. This is good old-fashioned t-duality. The 2A setup with D2 brains on a Calabi-Yau threefold, it's t-dual to a Hanani-Witten setup with D3 brains wrapped around a circle and these NSNS prime ingredients. And we'll see that quickly. The D3 brains t-dualize to D2 brains, the NS, NS prime, you t-dualize in directions orthogonal to their world volume, so they t-dualize into pure geometry. You zoom in on the near singular part of that geometry, and you just get that Calabi-Yau threefold back. These theories with the NS and NS primes are then S-dual to those with the D5, D5 primes. So let's represent the 2A setups in terms of just the Hanani-Witten setups t-dual to them. That way we're comparing apples with apples. Our statement then is that these Hanani-Witten setups, the NSNS primes, those are geometrically dual to those with the PQ5 brains. So back to the suspended pinch point one last time. The Hanani-Witten setups t-dual to D2s on the suspended pinch point are, well, that's this one right here with an NS, NS, and NS prime. The same setup wrote down before. Gives rise to the same quiver we talked about before. And you can perform an S-duality and get the other representation. So then our statement is that the reason why these brain setups give rise to dual theories to the ones with PQ webs is that these brain setups are geometrically dual, the ones with PQ webs. In this case, though, the suspended pinch point was a little bit special. For a given Calabi-Yau threefold, there will actually not just be three theories that are all dual to each other in the infrared, there will be five. Related by, S-duality, this T-transformation, and then by geometric duality. There's the old one that people know and love, with all vector, all gauge group factors, with superpotential and adjoints and missing adjoints. The brain setups that engineer them are S-dual to these ones with purely flavor. So those two were known. But then I can construct these setups with, PQ webs. And for a given threefold, its toric diagram will have more dots in one direction than another. So there's one representation, there's one PQ web that has more NS brains than D5 brains that lifts up to it. That gives rise to a theory with more gauge groups than flavors, if you will. So there's that representation, and then there's the flip of it, where there's more flavors than gauge groups. Call that the mostly flavor. Those are related just by S-duality. And then finally, there's a box where if we apply this T-transformation, turn D5s into 1-1 brains, we destroy a lot of the flavors and give rise to Chern-Simons terms instead. So for a general threefold, there'll really be five different theories that are all dual to each other in the infrared. In our case, this theory and with the suspended pinch point, these two theories were actually identical. And actually, so were these two. So the suspended pinch point is simple. It's worth noting, usually people start talking about these sort of problems with the conifold. It's an even simpler Calabi-Yau threefold than the suspended pinch point. There, it's even simpler still. These two theories are actually the same, and it's the same as this theory right here. So that's why I talked about the suspended pinch point. Okay, one loose end to tie up. Earlier I mentioned that the toric duality of the Calabi-Yau threefold manifested itself as mirror symmetry. And you said it was with PQ brains. You might ask, how does toric duality show up for these type 2A setups? Well, in the case of D3 brains probing Calabi-Yau threefolds, some smart people showed that toric duality is really just cyber duality. Some other people showed that Seiberg duality survives reduction from 4D to 3D untouched in some instances, in particular in these instances, without Chern-Simons terms. Thus, we get to form a syllogism. And that's all this slide is, really. It's just a giant folded syllogism. We have toric duality is Seiberg duality, which survives the reduction, so it applies here. And then we knew before that toric duality was mirror symmetry, so we complete the sentence. Seiberg duality is mirror symmetry for these theories. So this led to part of the title of this paper, which was the duality of dualities. Two different dualities are equivalent to each other. Okay. Let me give a little conclusion here, a little bit of future direction, things thinking about. We found some new examples of mirror symmetry using, well, one more SL2Z transformation. Along the way, sort of implicitly, didn't mention this, but this was implicit, there are many duals that you could write down that are Chern-Simons matter theories. As a result, you have a nice IR description of those theories. Along the way, uncovered this new duality, geometric duality, relates the setups with NSNS prime brands to those with PQ webs, and all of this comes about essentially from a special case. If I want to talk about 3D theory on M2 brains that preserves this amount of supersymmetry, the most general such theory comes from M2 brains, not on a Calabi-Yau threefold, but on a general Calabi-Yau fourfold. And have some suspicions that this analysis offers some hints for how you might understand the more general problem of M2 brains on a Calabi-Yau fourfold. That problem is hard. Lots of people have worked on it. Sebastian's worked extensively on it, trying to adapt the machinery of brain tilings. Some people have worked on these crystal formulations. It's a very hard problem. And something that may be possible, I'm not sure about the backdoor approach here as I was a couple weeks ago, but at least something that's possible, maybe, might not be tractable, is to play the same Leung-Bafa game. Engineer a brain setup in type 2B that lifts to a general Calabi-Yau fourfold. In order to do that, you need not just PQ brains, you need PQR brains. Sort of weird thing that's it's a bound state of PQ brains with KK monopoles. If it was possible, and I don't know if it is, to understand Hanani-Witten setups where I intersect PQR brains up against them, then would be able to understand, oh, well, those PQR brains lift up to this Calabi-Yau fourfold, and I have at least one description of that theory. A nice thing that this approach would offer that hasn't been talked about a lot, at least not that I've seen, Calabi-Yau fourfolds have a larger toric duality group than Calabi-Yau threefolds. Calabi-Yau threefolds have an SL2Z duality group. Calabi-Yau fourfolds have an SL3Z. It would be nice to understand that larger duality group from the field theory perspective. It'd be nice to understand it from the brain perspective. It'd be nice to understand it from any perspective at this point. One thing that we are fairly, well, at least somewhat confident about is that this duality that we found should just be a non-trivial off-diagonal element of this SL3Z group. I can view Calabi-Yau threefold cross C as a fourfold and has this large duality group. And then we would hope that this transformation that we found, this mapping that we found is just some non-trivial element of SL3Z. Somehow exchanges five brains with KK monopoles, perhaps. That is all that I have. Thank you for listening. Any questions?
I remember a while ago that there was some complaints that PQR objects were not supersymmetric. Can you comment on that? They might not be the same. This is one. That you try to suspend brains in three dimensions and you're not supersymmetric.
Okay.
Right.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's doing something slightly different because he wants to find. kind of adjustment.
This duality doesn't, we don't see it in four dimensions, no. If I consider D3 brains on a Calabial threefold, that's, yeah, there's no, not, at least, I don't know. I don't know much about F theory, so I don't know if that lifts up to F theory, and then if it does, I mean, this duality relies on having two different circles that you can reduce on to get back to the original description. And I don't know enough about F theory to be able to say anything more than that.
There's some, sorry if I missed, you said this, but is there some connection between this usage of the term mirror symmetry and mirror symmetric Calabials?
So the original discovery of mirror symmetry for 3D gauge theories is related to the mirror symmetry of Calabials. And as I understand it, someone please correct me if I'm wrong, but you talk about string theory compactified on a Calabial threefold in 10 dimensions, then you have some nice two dual representations of the world sheet theory, and so then you say something, I can have two different Calabials that are dual to each other, and if you dimensionally reduce in the non-compact directions, so you go down to R3 cross S1 cross Calabial 3, then I think there that's where the 3D mirror symmetry shows up, same sort of thing. But the original, I mean, when Introligator and Cyberg did this, they weren't using string theory. They were just looking at field theory, using holomorphicity of n equals 4 theories in three dimensions, things like that.
Other questions? Okay. I'm Christian again.